Recreation and Park Commission. It's Thursday, May 9th, 9:07 a.m. Ashley, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Hallisey?
Here.
Commissioner Louie? Commissioner Wintraub?
Here.
Commissioner Zwart? And Commissioner Mazzola, Commissioner Anderson, and Commissioner Jupiter Jones all have excused absences today. This is a special Recreation and Park Commission meeting of May 9th, 2024. The San Francisco Recreation and Park Commission acknowledges that we occupy the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone peoples, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. We honor the Ramaytush Ohlone peoples for their enduring commitment to Mother Earth. As the indigenous protectors of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As stewards of parkland, we recognize our duty to honor the Ohlone through thoughtful and informed preservation and interpretation of ancestral land. As uninvited guests, we affirm their sovereign rights as First Peoples and wish to pay our respects to the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community. Good morning and welcome to the Recreation and Park Commission. We ask that you please turn off electronic devices and take any secondary conversations outside for the meeting to proceed as efficiently as possible. Public comment will be available for each item on the agenda. Unless otherwise announced by the chair, each person will have 2 minutes for public comment on each item. Comments or opportunities to speak during the public comment period are available both in person in City Hall Room 408 and remotely. Please address your comments to the commission during public comment on items. Neither the commission nor staff will respond to any questions during public comment, but the commission may ask questions of staff after public comment is closed. Public comment may also be submitted via email as well as USPS. Please note that this commission meeting is being recorded. Alrighty, we are now on item 2, Stonestown Development Shadow on Rolf Nickel Jr. Playground and Junipero Serra Playground. There it is. Oh, there you go.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, commissioners. Thank you, commission liaison. My name is Kirsten Keichmeier. I'm a planner with the Capital and Planning Division. And today I am joined by Planning Department staff Patrick Race. The presentation today will provide you a summary of the proposed Stonestown development project and will focus on the shadow analysis that affects two of our parks, namely Rolf Nickel Jr. Playground and Junipero Serra Playground. I will report on the shadow analysis, and Patrick Race will present the Stonestown development's project description, public outreach, and public benefits. The review of the shadow cast by this project supports Objective 1.2 of our Recreation and Parks Strategic Plan, which is to strengthen the quality of existing parks and facilities. As you're all very familiar with, your review of the shadow on rec park land is guided by Planning Code Section 295 and the 1989 memo jointly adopted by the Planning Commission and the Rec Park Commission. And now I'm going to turn it over to Planning Department staff Patrick Race.
Thank you, Kirsten. Good morning, commissioners. Patrick Race, Planning Department staff. It's a pleasure being with you today. The Stonestown development project includes the roughly 43-acre site, which is comprised of an 11-acre shopping center, 27 acres of surface parking lots and operational uses, 3 acres of publicly accessible, privately owned streets, and 2 acres of public right-of-way. The developer is proposing to enter into a development agreement with the city to develop approximately 30 acres of the site, most of it surface parking and excluding the existing Stonestown Galleria, into a primarily residential neighborhood with parks and plazas, retail, community amenity space, office, childcare, and structured parking, which in conjunction with the existing Stonestown Galleria Mall will create a new neighborhood or town center where the community can live, gather, and play. The site presents a tremendous opportunity to transform these underutilized surface parking lots into thousands of new residential units that will help the city meet its mandated goal of bringing 82,000 new units online by the end of 2031. The site is well served by transit, educational facilities, and will better integrate recreational amenities owned, operated, and maintained by Rec Park, specifically Rolf Nichol Jr. Playground to the northwest and Junipero Serra Playground to the east. As part of this transformation, key project elements are integral to the overall program of the site and will contribute to a balanced, connected, vibrant neighborhood. These include up to 3,500 new residential units spread across the site from 3 to 18 stories. The majority of units will be in mid-rise buildings of approximately 8 stories, and opportunities for additional housing in 5 towers located strategically within the site to minimize visual and shadow impacts. 20th Avenue will be realigned to better connect to the city grid and will serve as the main commercial spine within the neighborhood. Nearly 6 acres of publicly accessible parks and plazas, the design and location of which are regulated by a robust design standards and guidelines document. These open spaces will provide site interconnection and space to gather with passive and active recreational opportunities. In the northwest, the greenways will facilitate visual and physical connections into Rolf Nichol Jr. Playground. There will also be underground and above ground parking and a robust set of streetscape, safety, bikeway, and pedestrian improvements. The community played an important role in shaping the design of this project. Neighbors have been generally supportive of the project, with primary concerns coming from people worried about the impacts of increased density, building heights, and the impacts of traffic. To address community concerns, the project has evolved strategically with specific areas that decrease or increase in height to respond to the site's topography and context of the neighborhood. In the context of Rolf Nichol Jr. Playground, townhomes and buildings with lower heights are located adjacent to the playground. Taller buildings are proposed along the edges of the San Francisco State campus. Towers are positioned and oriented to contribute to a dynamic skyline that minimizes broad face views from the surrounding neighborhood. And in the northwest corner of the site, parcels were reconfigured to create a more direct connection between Rolf Nichol Jr. Playground and the site, better integrating the project and adjoining neighborhood assets. Site circulation revisions occurred to address concerns around on-street parking and loading for several schools adjacent to the project site and to create safer pedestrian crossings throughout. Mitigation measures were developed as part of the transportation demand management plan to address the traffic concerns raised by the community. I'll now provide a little bit of a summary of the overall community benefits package in the development agreement, which has been negotiated by OEWD and the planning department with active involvement from Rec Park staff. Starting with the physical transformation of the site, you heard about the overall master plan, including the housing and public realm improvements. A bit different from many of the other large multi-phase projects, this one is unique in that we will see a new community surrounding the existing Stonestown Mall, building on the existing asset that is already there and that is an important resource to the community. That transformation begins with the redesign of the existing parking lots, public streets, and private mall access roads into a new street network. As I mentioned, the existing streets will be redesigned to provide additional space for pedestrians and people on bikes, with two-way separated bikeways on all of the primary streets. The rebuilt streets will also provide new accessible drop-off and loading zones, improved access to off-street garages, and improved bus access for Muni, all designed to maintain convenient access to the site while improving pedestrian experience and connections to the surrounding neighborhood. As mentioned, the project will also provide 6 acres of new open spaces, including new privately maintained parks, new plazas, including a new permanent location for the existing neighborhood farmers market, and also mid-block pedestrian connections throughout the site. The project will also include improvements to Rolf Nichol Jr. Playground, including new pathways linking the project site to and through the park to its Eucalyptus Drive entry, and a $1 million contribution to the city for future park improvements, including potential upgrades to irrigation and other amenities. Two key benefits of the project are its new spaces for kids and seniors. The project will provide new child care facility for up to 100 children and adjacent outdoor space to be rented to a nonprofit child care provider with partially subsidized rent. The project will also include replacement of the existing YMCA annex facility at 20th and Buckingham with a new 7,000 square foot on-site senior center to be rented for $1 per year to the YMCA or another nonprofit operator. Of the almost 3,500 new housing units that would be permitted as part of the project, Stonestown's affordable housing plan has been designed to facilitate development of 20% of all units built as part of the project as affordable, including both on-site and in-lieu fees, or in-lieu fee units. At least 300 of these affordable units will be built on the project site, either as inclusionary units that are part of market rate buildings or as 100% affordable buildings on parcels donated to either the city or a nonprofit developer. The project includes a workforce agreement between the city and the developer that will include first source hiring commitments, local hiring for work in public streets and within the park, and local business enterprise plan. This development agreement will last up to 25 years or more, with construction occurring over multiple project phases. That investment will create hundreds of jobs, both during construction and on an ongoing basis after completion of the project. The project will also help secure the existing Stonestown Mall as an ongoing community asset. The development agreement, which is sponsored by the mayor and Supervisor Melgar, was introduced to the Board of Supervisors on April 23rd. This afternoon, following this hearing, the project will go before the Planning Commission to certify the environmental impact report and to consider development agreement project approvals. We are scheduled to be back here with you all at your regular meeting on May 16th after the EIR is certified to ask for this commission's consent to the development agreement before it is heard by the Board of Supervisors this summer. With that, I'll hand it back to Kirsten.
Thanks, Patrick. So to begin the shadow analysis, as I mentioned before, shadow will be cast on two of our parks, Rolf Nichol Jr. Playground, which lies directly northwest of the project site, and Juniper Serra Playground, which lies to the southeast on the other side of 19th Ave. The project has two variants, and the higher shadow variant was analyzed for each park. In addition, the shadow consultant's analysis also included looking at the cumulative impacts of shadow from the Stonestown development and San Francisco State University's future plan, which is going to add more student housing, and it was determined that the additional cumulative shadow increase is de minimis on both parks. So this slide provides the project's full year shadow fan, which is helpful in visualizing the project's overall shadow impact upon the parks throughout the year. Light blue is indicative of occasional shadow and dark blue is frequent shadow. On Rolf Nichol Park, new shadow would fall across much of the park, but the most frequent shadow falls along the shared border of Rolf Nichol to the Stonestown development on the southern boundary of the park. And less frequent shadow to occasional shadow would then fall on the northwestern portion of the park. On Junipero Serra Playground, new shadow would only be present occasionally and affecting the northeastern part of the park. So looking at Rolf Nichol Jr. Playground's layout, the park is 3 acres in size. There are two entrances on Eucalyptus Drive, a pedestrian concrete pathway that begins at the northeastern corner of the park that runs to the playground, and an unpaved entrance at the center of the park's northern boundary. Mature trees border the park on all sides. Programmatically, there are not a lot of amenities. The park consists of a small playground and a nature exploration area on the eastern side of the park and an expansive grassy meadow in the center. In general, the park is underutilized. There are not many active uses. Observations by the shadow consultant and conversations with Rec Park staff have confirmed this. The park does provide an important throughfare for Lowell High School students. The school is directly west of the park. And the students traverse the park to access the nearby Stonestown Mall. So looking at the shadow analyses, we start off with the quantitative analysis. So there is currently a 1.24% existing shadow load on Rolf Nichol Jr. Playground, meaning that there's 1.24% of total available annual sunlight. However, this number does not take into account shadow cast by existing trees. The park is bordered on all sides by mature and large eucalyptus and pine trees, as I'd mentioned before. The project would add 11.05% shadow for a total of 12.29% shadow load on the park. The image on the right depicts the project's maximum net new shadow. So just as a reminder, the maximum net new shadow is this specific moment in time when the largest single amount of shadow is present. And for Rolf Nickel, this would occur on December 13th and 28th at 8:15 a.m., covering 86% of the park, shading the playground, open grassy meadow at this hour. Project shadow on the days of maximum shadow would occur throughout most of the day, with the morning hours experiencing the greatest shadow coverage. The shadow does recede, however, as the sun rises to midday and afternoon. By noon, the shadow would recede to cover 21% of the park, and by 2:30 p.m., it would cover 9% of the park. Qualitatively, project shadow would occur year-round, but predominantly in the late fall to winter in the mornings. The average daily duration of the shadow is 7 hours and 32 minutes, and the average shadow coverage covers about just under 17% of park area. The shadow would occur mostly over the southern three quarters of the park, over the large central grassy meadow and the playground. So park activity was observed to occur mostly in the playground and the central grassy area. Throughout most of the year, the playground and the grassy field would be most subject to shadow during the morning hours through midday, except between mid-spring to midsummer, when no new shadow would impact these amenities. So the next image is a time lapse showing the new shadow from the project during the winter solstice. So the winter solstice, on December 21st, is slap bang in between the 2 days of maximum shadow of December 13th and 28th. So it's showing you the maximum shadow that's covering the park at that time. And as you can see, as the day progresses, the shade is more significant in the morning. So from after sunrise to about 9:30 a.m., the playground is mostly shaded by the new project, and then it's partially shaded till 12 p.m., after which it is in the full sunlight. And after sunrise to about 1 p.m., the meadow area and the eucalyptus grove in the southern half is partially shaded, after which it's in the sun again. I did want to show you another time-lapse animation for the fall and spring equinox. I think it is important to consider what is happening on shadow at Rolf Nickel throughout the year, because the shadow is present throughout the year, but it's not uniformly present. So I do want to make that distinction. So during the fall and spring equinox, again, we see the shadow is more significant in the morning, before 8 a.m., where the southern portion of the park and the southern half of the meadow and the playground is partially covered. But by 9 a.m., the playground is in full sunlight, and by 11 a.m., the meadow is in full sunlight. Now we go to our second park, Junipero Serra Playground. This park is 1.5 acres in size, and it has a few amenities. There is a clubhouse on the far left side, a playground next to the clubhouse, basketball and tennis courts next to the playground, and in the southern portion of the park, there is a baseball field. So for the shadow analysis, quantitatively, there is currently a 7.23 existing shadow load on Junipero Serra Playground. The project would add 0.1% shadow for a total of 7.33% shadow load on the park. The image on the right again depicts the project's maximum net new shadow. So this is the moment in time where the single largest amount of shadow is present. And this would occur directly on the summer solstice, June 21st, at around 7:30 p.m. and cover 29% of the park. Qualitatively, the project shadow would occur only from mid-spring to mid-summer for a total of 111 days and would occur in the late afternoons after 4:30 p.m. The average duration of this shadow would be 21.5 minutes and would cover just under 14% of park area. With regard to the location, the shadow would cover the northeastern corner of the park, and it shades the northern edge of the playground, partially shading the outdoor basketball and fully shading the tennis courts. And here is a time lapse during the summer solstice when it's the maximum shadow on Junipero Serra. As you can see, there is no shadow cast all day on Junipero Serra until 7:30 p.m., and then that shadow lasts for about 30 minutes. But I also did want to direct your attention to Rolf Nickel Jr. Playground so you are able to see what is happening during the summer months. The playground is shaded till about 8 a.m., and then the meadow is not shaded at all in the early morning hours. But for most of the day, after 8 a.m., the playground will be in sunlight. So in closing, I'd like to remind you that we used the 1989 memo that was evaluating the 14 downtown parks as a guidance for citywide parks throughout. And we have Manu Pradhan here, our city attorney, who can answer any questions going forward on that. But this is the summary for the shadow load. And yes, and we also consider qualitatively time of day, time of year, shadow size, duration, location, and the public goods served by the project. And that concludes my presentation today. Planning staff and I are here for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirsten and Patrick.
All right, so we'll move to public comment first in room 408, and then I'll move over to those who are joining us on our WebEx. And I see a couple of hands raised. You can dial *3 if you'd like to raise your hand on the WebEx. But if you would like to comment, I don't have any blue cards yet, so just please come on up, and you'll have 2 minutes each. Would anyone like to comment? Come on up.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Jay Anthony. I'm a proud member of Carpenters Local 22, 11 years in the trade. Born and raised in San Francisco, grew up in the Mission District. We stand in strong support for the Stonestone Development Project. This project represents a significant investment in housing, community, amenities, and infrastructure and local businesses. The Stonestone Project will directly benefit Carpenters with both employment and training opportunities, also contributing to our broader economic and community enhancement for San Francisco. As a carpenter working in San Francisco, working on a project that enhances their own community can be especially rewarding. Our members, like so many others, need more abundant, affordable housing for themselves and their families. This project will include housing, public spaces, recreational facilities, and the retention of Stonestown's Galleria, all of which will contribute to a higher quality of life and the retention for the community and members, including the carpenters and our families. Thank you for voting and for supporting our work and profession. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak on this project? Okay, seeing none in room 408, SFGovTV, can you unmute the first caller?
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Jane Natoli. I'm the San Francisco Organizing Director for MB Action. Calling in support of Stonestown overall, appreciate the work that you just heard about in terms of doing the shadow study. I know that's part of something that we have to do here. I think that this laid out that the impacts won't be too extreme, especially considering the benefits of the fact that there will be many, many, many more people to utilize these parks living nearby once we complete this, as well as other new parks and amenities as a part of the Stonestown plan. So encouraging you to move forward with this today. Thank you for your time.
Next speaker.
Price with the Housing Action Coalition, calling in support of this project. Our project review committee first reviewed this project at the end of 2022 and have been in constant communication with community members and the project team as the plans have evolved. And we're really excited by the potential that this development has, bringing 3,500 new homes to the west side of San Francisco, significant public realm improvements and safety improvements for pedestrians and bicyclists, which is especially important with the proximity to Lowell High School. We are really excited as well about all the community benefits associated with the project, namely the capital improvements to Ralph Nickel Park, as well as new public open space as well. So all in all, we think this is an amazing project. We ask that you support it today. Thank you.
Okay. That is all the public comment we have. So seeing no further public comment is closed. Commissioners.
Commissioners, questions, comments? I have a few comments. The new shadow on Unit Procera Playground is minute, 0.1%. The net new shadow on Rolf Nicole Park is 11.05%. In my 3.5 years on the commission, this is the largest net new shadow percentage that has come before us. I am very well acquainted with this park. My three children went to elementary school less than a block from Rolf Nicole Park. They played many games of t-ball and soccer. I coached many of those games, spent many hours there. I will say, however, though, that this park is in bad need of a facelift to bring it up to the level of all the other great parks here in San Francisco. So despite the high percentage of shadow, in my opinion, the revitalization of this park far outweighs the shadow. And so I am in favor of moving this project forward. And if there are, oh, I'm sorry, General Manager Ginsburg.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hallis.
New room, I don't really know the equipment. just a reflection or two. Part of our job here, just as a reminder, right, where the Rec and Park Commission doesn't grant entitlements, doesn't approve CEQA, we weigh in on the sort of impact of the shadow caused by development on our parks. And there's both qualitative and quantitative analysis that is used. There is another factor here, which I just think, you know, is important to call out, which is public benefit. And we're at a time where San Francisco is under a state mandate, and almost every San Franciscans don't agree on much, but we all agree on the importance of new housing and more housing. And we may not all agree on this. I personally believe in more density because I think that's critical to a healthy, thriving city. And the 3,500 units of housing here, a lot of the sort of public serving amenities, community space, senior space, are all great public benefits for our city. And then as it relates to the park, and Commissioner Hallisey, this was not my kid's local neighborhood park, but I know it well because my youngest daughter went to Lowell, and it's not too far from my hood. And I agree with your assessment that it's a little underwhelming. And Commissioner Mazzola and I have talked about it over the years because he's a neighbor too. We've added a nature exploration area. I optimistically think, in addition to, you know, some of the improvements that will be made at Rolf Nickel as a result of this development, I'm most optimistic about 3,500 new families in the area, mm-hmm. and giving them an opportunity to actually appreciate this park and galvanize support for this space. Mm-hmm. So I look at this project as actually a very good thing for Rolf Nickel. And so I just wanted to kind of remind us to orient just a little bit. Also, the quantitative and qualitative analysis is certainly very important, but mm-hmm. also to keep in mind some of the larger public benefit questions.
Sure. Understood. I just to remind everybody, though, we are not ruling on the project overall, specifically just the shadow impact today. And if there are no further comments or questions, the chair will entertain a motion that in regard to the shadow, we move this project forward.
So moved.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners. We are now on item 3, adjournment.
All right. First, I would like to thank Kirsten and Patrick, all the great people from the RPD planning department that are here today and do a lot of behind-the-scenes work that very often don't come to the attention of the general public. Thank you, General Manager Ginsburg, for your comments today. Commissioners, thank you. Annalisa, Leah, appreciate you being here today. And Ashley, thank you for putting it all together. The chair will entertain a motion that we adjourn.
So moved. Second that.
We are adjourned at 9:38 a.m. Thanks, everybody, for being here today.